Well, what a treat. The most powerful man in the nation makes time for us every week. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Point Piper. Good morning to you, Rich Uncle Mal.
Good morning to you, Ed. Always a pleasure, never a chore. And wonderful to hear from you again. And hello to you, Marto and Robin. And
morning,
everybody,
sir.
In Brisbane. Good on you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, good. Yes, good morning. Are you into Game of Thrones? And did you watch the premiere of Season 7 last night?
Well, Robin, I'm very excited that you asked that because I am into Game of Thrones. George R.R. Martin's incredible fantasy epic set in Westeros has some terrifying parallels for everybody in Canberra. We are in the winds of winter. Euron is like the media, an unreliable source. There are White Walkers and Night Kings. There are struggles and romances and ultimately war. As John put it last season, the true enemy won't wait out the storm. He brings the storm. And in short, what I think that means is I'd like to stab Tony in the face with a sword.
Yeah, it does seem
like
that.
And make love to Lucy without the central heating on. I think that's essentially where I stand on Game of Thrones.
Rich Uncle Mal, you've announced a new anti-terror measures. Could you run us through them, please?
Well, to stay on the TV theme, Ed, this is the same as Frank Underwood's State of War, at the beginning of Series 5 of House of Cards. It's a distraction from the winds of winter with Tony. Though we need to be agile and innovative against a very real threat. And to that end, we have moved legislation to allow the Army to assist the police in domestic terror threats. And what that essentially means is that the Army will be able to crush student protests and
yes.
disband union and communist insurrections.
Yay.
It's about protecting us from Tony as well, because he will go completely gaga. Guys,
won't he, though? Won't he?
Now, it's that time
the
of year, Prime Minister, you've spent a lot of time overseas this winter. Has that been fruitful for you?
Marto, I love leaving this country, like anybody else. You know, the moment you've got a spare couple of grand, onto a flight and off you go, and I feel the same sense of excitement climbing aboard RAAF1 as a bogan feels going to Bali for the first time aboard an $89 Air Asia X flight. You just don't know whether you're going to get there or not. And they drag their pudgy working class bodies on, all of a quiver with excitement. I feel that same thing because essentially I'm just a normal guy at heart. I did meet the Queen, and that was very exciting for a Republican like me. And I must say, unlike most 90-year-olds, she doesn't smell of urine and biscuits.
Oh,
wow,
dear.
What a treat that is. Hey, Rich Uncle Mal, I know that you're busy.
I'm only kidding. I just want to be one of the guys.
Are you humming a tune at the moment?
Well, I am because Triple M's having their 90s revival. I've hit on one by the Dandy Warhols, Bohemian Like You. Don't you just love it? You've got a great car. Yeah, what's wrong with it today? I used to have one too. Oh, baby, come and have a look. I really love your hairdo. I'm glad you like mine too. See, we're looking pretty cool. Why don't we just go to the chorus?
Yes, please.
Because I like you. Yeah, I like you. And I'm feeling so bohemian like you. Yeah, I like you. Yeah, I like you. I feel so woohoo. Woo!
Wow, you are an old bohemian, Rich Uncle Mal. Live.
And before I go, Ed, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks the fog in Brisbane today. So don't put your high beams on.
Will do.
Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal. And we should say that Mal's very good friend, Lawrence Mooney, plays QPAC on Saturday night. There are some tickets still available, so get involved. It is always a pleasure to see the Moon Man.
Good on you.
Now, on Saturday on the Today Show, when I was doing my head-to-head thing, we were talking about particularly New South Wales doctors, and there was this one doctor that claimed that he had worked for 76 hours. And there is a big concern within...
Straight. Jesus.
What's that, 4 days, 3 days?
3 days.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's ridiculous. I mean, look, the study is about New South Wales doctors, the fact that we are understaffed with our doctoring services and that they're worried that people are doing ridiculous shifts. And
they kill these doctors in hospitals. It's hospitals, isn't
it? Yeah, it's emergency departments.
Yeah, right.
And so, that you know, they were saying that it's not uncommon to have sort of 50-hour shifts and that, I mean, and look, I think...
There must be sleeps in there, surely.
Yeah, I reckon that. Well, they've got rooms, don't
work.
They?
I don't know.
And they go and take a kip for a couple of hours. Now, that was across the weekend. A lot of people were talking about it, and I thought, yeah, whatever. But overnight, Luke Boner had a call from a guy who said this.
G'day, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, Trav. What's going on?
Oh, not much, mate. I just did a 24-hour day, pretty much. And I'm ready for bed.
Oh, mate. What do you do for a living?
I'm a dogman, rigger. Yeah, I work with cranes.
He's the guy on the ground that whistles or radios the crane driver up top on where to drop the chain and does up all the loads and lifts things back up.
Yeah, but that's a 24-hour shift.
That's rubbish.
What? You can't
work even that job. You know, it's not physically demanding, but it's mentally pretty demanding because you're the one who's got to be responsible for where that chain on the bottom of the crane gets to and, you know, not hitting things. And
you can't work
24 hours.
But he would have on and off time. So as they're moving the crane around, he would be, you know, kind of relaxed and then he has to have a moment. I mean, I think people have worked 24 hours. I would love to know.
How long have you been awake as well? I mean, it's just in general. There'd be people who've...
I don't think I've ever lasted 24 hours. Oh,
well,
maybe 24 hours.
Oh, God, I have.
You can't go much longer, though.
Oh, I reckon I would have done 30. Gosh. You know, but as a young stupid...
A lot of these are drug-assisted, too,
no,
I reckon.
No, that wasn't.
No, but I'm saying
a lot of these
people.
And trying with my friends to see who could stay awake the longest, because that's what you do when you're 16 and trying to be really cool with your girlfriends having a sleepover.
But those doctors, 76 hours, they're not working that whole... They're not awake that whole time.
Well, they're on shift.
Yeah. They're there at the hospital, but they're not awake. I don't understand the whole thing. I'm not a big one for staying awake for 24 hours.
What about you, Ed? Have you ever had a long haul?
I'm sure when I was what am I talking about? At university, we once did a 24-hour play, a continuous play that went for 24 hours.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
And but obviously you had to be awake for that, but you also had to be awake for the bit before it and the bit after it. So that was almost 2 days of being awake. Oh, man.
How many people are in the play?
Well, it was about just being there, and it was about what you could get hold of, you know, like backstage.
How many people in the audience?
Did they have to be awake? There was one point at 2 a.m. where we realised there was no one in the audience, and we just thought, yeah, this is going well.
What a strange thing.
Well, there you go. So Ed's done, 26, 28 hours?
It was about 28, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, I've done around 30. If you can beat it, give us a call.
Calls are coming thick and fast.
I've driven to Sydney with only stopping for fuel.
Oh that's 18?
No, 12. 11.
That's 10, yeah.
That's about it.
You're trying to be generous, Ed.
133353, how long have you stayed awake? What was the occasion?
I've just had a text from my friend Julian who went last Wednesday night, State of Origin, 24 hours with Dave. There you go. I reckon there'd be a lot of people who'd done 24 hours after the State of Origin when we won.
Wow.
Michael of Wishart, what do you reckon? How long?
Oh, mate, I went to work on a Saturday morning at 5 and I left at 6 o'clock Sunday morning.
25-hour day, working the whole time.
Well, yes, it was rather a large. We were doing a PABX cutover with 380 extensions at the Rockley Fruit Markets, and if anybody's ever worked there, it's a nightmare. And, yeah, 25 hours and then we went home.
So a new phone system had to be finished, didn't it?
Had to be finished because they kicked off at some ridiculous time on Monday morning. And, yeah, without that, they'd have nothing.
Were you delirious? Like, did anything happen to you physically doing a 25-hour shift?
No. But the one thing that was funny was we put all the old phones in a big cage out the front ready to be collected.
Yeah.
And we discovered that somebody on the Sunday markets had found them and sold half of them.
Of course they did. That is one of the great markets. Were you on Red Bull or coffee?
Mate, I don't think some of that stuff was there back then. So, yes, would I ever do it again? No, probably not.
Fair enough.
25 hours. Can we beat that? Jeez,
that's pretty good. Thanks, Michael. Here's Scott from Kapira. How long you stay awake for?
Oh, mate, we've done about 50 hours, but I did 42 hours straight at work one day, just dashing the last 3 weeks it was.
Who's that important? So, what were you doing?
I opened a restaurant for somebody, so being the chef in the restaurant, you've got to make sure everything's ready to go. And, mate, it's a pretty hardcore shift.
Okay, so do you mean from the moment you walked in that door, you consistently
non-stop.
Worked for 42 hours?
Non-stop, yeah, absolutely. Look, there's plenty of chefs doing it around Brisbane, but I mean, the body gives way. Your legs break down, your ankles break down, your knees break down. So, but you know, that's what you got to do.
Hey, what was the name of the restaurant? Better give it a plug.
No, it's called Dubop Jazz Bar.
Where at?
It is Dubop Jazz Bar.
In Edward Street. Brand new jazz bar.
Righto.
Purpose-built jazz bar in Brisbane. So,
but that's
just
great.
A quick one.
Yeah.
The wife was at home with an 18-week-old kid and she did longer. So to all the mothers out there, they're doing it harder.
Good on you, Scott.
Yes, they sometimes
well played,
are.
Mate.
Thank
well played.
You.
Okay, 133353, how long have you managed to stay awake for?
Yeah, take some more.
This is interesting. And why? What made you stay awake for that long? Work, we're hearing. Well, it's only work so far. What about some fun? Mm. Maybe it was the 99, 2000 change of the millennium and you just went sick. Yeah. You woke up 3 weeks later in Adelaide and thought, how did I get here?
I've just got a text from Charlie's Chips in Kenmore. You know Charlie. He said, I worked the Michael Jackson concert back in 97. It took us 3.5 weeks to set up and it took us 33.5 hours bumped into for a 40-hour shift.
Well, no one slept.
Well, there you
go. No one sleeps when Michael Jackson's involved. 133353. How long did you stay awake for and why?
I was just trying to think of situations where you would have to stay awake. So maybe farmers bringing in crops that you couldn't stop.
Yeah, well, they can go through the night now with GPS tracking and everything.
Having a baby, being a midwife.
There it is, having a baby, being on call for that. Well, let's ask people. RJ from Crestmead, why did you stay awake, my friend, and how long for?
Mate, we used to work all week, then Friday afternoon you'd finish after driving the truck. We'd go in and do security at the nightclubs, work till 4 or 5 in the morning, then you go to the horse races, do security there. Oh. When you finish there, wander down to the nightclub and do another shift right through to Sunday morning.
What did that end up being, Saturday to Sunday morning? Is that 40 hours?
That's Friday, all Friday right through to Sunday morning, yeah.
How did you do that? Like, seriously, by Saturday night?
Cart the Red Bull.
A carton
of Red Bull.
Is that code?
Jeez, yeah, RJ. I think that's code. Yeah. Thanks, RJ. You're still walking, though, and talking. Rob of Everton Hills. How long?
4 days.
What, 96 hours without sleeping?
96 hours. So I was a young infantryman up in Townsville in the early 90s, and we were doing was a section competition, and it was so 3 nights. In the end of the fourth day, by about lunchtime, I think, is when we got some sleep. And I'll tell you what, you only do that once.
What were you doing, though, while you were awake? Did you actually have to do anything, or was it just surviving awake?
So it was a whole bunch of activities lined up sort of back-to-back. So you'd, as a group of about 8 or 9, you'd go out, you'd do some combat-related activities. What made the nights a little bit easier to cope was that you'd end up just doing activity like walking through the night or doing some sort of like navigation through the night.
What did it do to you, Rob? Like, what did it do to you after you finished that? What did it do to your... Do you think it helped you? Did it make you more alert or did it help in your training? Like, what does it do?
It gives you an indication of how long you can go. And I tell you what, and what your mind's working like. So near the end of the third day and into that fourth morning... You're pretty much a zombie.
Did they try to torture you at all? I hear about the SAS doing stuff like that, throwing you up in Arnhem Land and then torturing you when you've had no sleep.
No.
You can tell us.
But were people dropping? Like, because at some point your body just must shut down.
People would be dropping for different reasons, like from injury or from probably exhaustion or from heat exhaustion. But not necessarily from lack of sleep. So, as a soldier, and I did over 20 years, 48 hours isn't uncommon if you're out and, you know, if you're on operations. 72 is pretty uncommon, and that's you lose a lot of combat effectiveness at that sort of rate. 24 is a walk in the park. So no
additives, no coffee or Red Bull.
Oh, you'd be punching the coffees now, mate, and if you get all the Red Bull.
Wow.
This is a great ad for Red Bull, by the way, by accident. This is an excellent. Hayden's from Petrie. Hayden, now how long did you stay awake? Oh, no, you're an expert. Hayden's an expert in fatigue risk management.
Word. Wow, cool.
Hayden, what do you want to tell us about a lack of sleep and staying up for hours and hours and hours?
Look, I've been listening to some of the calls and some of the claims, and if we look at medical professionals that were mentioned right at the beginning and the riggers, we need to look at what happens if these people make a mistake. Mm. Now, I'm pretty sure if you were on a hospital table and your life depended on it, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want the doctor who's into his 20th, 30th hour of his shift, you know, having to make critical decisions that affect the outcomes of my life.
Well, what happens? Do you get physically shaky or mentally unstable?
The first thing that you do is you lose concentration. Your ability to make fast and reliable decisions fades very rapidly. So, you know, a surgeon could miss one of your vital signs that could mean the difference between two different types of treatment. We look at, we listen to the account of the riggers before, and if they miss, you know, one slight hitch you know, whilst they're rigging a load. Yeah. Next thing you know, that load's dropped. And who's at risk there? The load drops. We've seen historically, even in Queen Street, I believe it was, where loads have dropped from cranes and people have been seriously injured, even killed. We have protective measures in place. You go under gantries and things like that when you're working or walking past these job sites, because the risk of a fatality is very, very real.
So what's a safe amount of time, you reckon, Hayden? What's a safe amount of time to stay up?
Well, if we refer to some of the high-risk industries, such as heavy vehicles in the airline industry, they have very strict guidelines, and normally the maximum that they'll allow, even with very strict procedures in place, is 16 hours in a 24-hour period. Airlines, pilots, you know, they make a mistake. The thing is, you've got a plane going down with 300 people on board, and we've got ourselves a major disaster.
Right.
We've certainly seen many cases where heavy vehicles, just the slightest micro nap whilst you're on a busy highway, and you've got multiple fatalities. So it's a really big thing. The employers of these people, you know, they have the policies and procedures in place, but if they're not monitoring them, they're completely liable for any kind of incident.
There you go. All right.
Lie down, everyone.
Yeah, really.
I was going to say, everybody,
Hayden
will give you a note if you need to have a nap.
Watching A Current Affair last night, and no dodgy tradesmen, no scam weight loss programs or anything like that. Last night was a guy who'd been doing burnouts, and his girlfriend fell out of the car and broke her leg, okay? So she'd gone, listen, he pushed me. I think she sort of said he might have. Anyway, he's gone to court. He got let off, so A Current Affair said, outrageous. And they chased the bloke as he came out of court. I'll just give you a little bit.
Raft performed a burnout that measured 32 metres of scorched rubber. Frank's girlfriend, Kerry Bosfield, was sitting in the back seat and continually told Frank to slow down before she somehow exited the car. Frank blames his thongs for the accident, claiming his foot got stuck between the pedals, which forced him to do the burnout.
How did a busted plugger burn so much rubber?
Great question.
Frank didn't want to talk.
Good gag.
No, I bet he didn't. So what are you saying about thongs?
Well, I'm not saying it. Frank said it, that quite clearly the thong caused him to do the burnout. That's why he was stuck. It was virtually like, it was like volts of electricity cramping his leg up. He couldn't get out.
I have to tell you, I don't know the exact situation, but I know
no one does.
That driving in thongs is a terrible idea. I think I've had another friend of mine who once was driving in thongs, had an accident, and it was just because his foot got caught, the thong sort of got caught sideways and he couldn't lift it up to change to the pedals quick enough.
Mm. Is that right? Mm. Okay. Well, what ACA, they were aware of people like you going, this is possible. They went, let's put it to the test. Now, you know Warren Luff, who won Bathurst with, I think, Lounsey 1 year? He drives the stunt cars at Movie World.
Okay.
Luffy, one of Australia's best drivers. His old man's Ian Luff, who's Australia's number one defensive driving teacher, okay?
Right.
A Current Affair have gone to Ian Luffy, and gone, mate, is it possible that a thong could make you do a burnout?
We'd assume that Frank's foot was on the brake when he took off. He put his foot on the accelerator. He claims his foot slipped out of the thong.
Hey.
Yes, plausible. But his foot's on the accelerator, and as we saw when I demonstrated, the car took off only with a small chirp of tyre.
Luffy couldn't wait to do a burnout. Bow. Luffy's saying that. I'm telling you here this morning, and Robin's going, same as you, Ed. She's going, women have this problem all the time. Is this fair, Anka?
Yeah, okay, so I'm not a thong wearer, but I am a heel wearer. And I've just tried to legitimise what I'm about to say, because the higher, and particularly the wedge, if you're going to wear a chunky sole, you have less contact with your accelerator.
Your actual flesh is further away.
Yeah, so the feeling, and I knew you'd laugh at me because you've been laughing at me all morning, but I'm looking at a survey that was done in the UK. 27% of respondents had encountered difficulties while driving because of the footwear they were wearing.
You're going to have to, Ian Luff, to put some high heels or a wedge to do that.
He might have to tower over everyone, but that's the issue. So if you, and particularly I remember in Japan, because there was this massive craze that they were wearing really high, like chunky soled shoes and boots. And they were missing because you weren't feeling the impact on the sole of your foot.
Well, Ed, were you talking about your foot touches the pedal and then your thong gets on the other side of the pedal and it's like the pedal is sort the meat wedged in a thong-foot sandwich?
Yeah, sort of wedged in there,
See, it's legit.
Burnouts all over the place. Sorry, I'm not a I don't wear thongs very often. I haven't had this happen.
I don't know how to do a burnout, but I could absolutely testify that there have been times where I have either cut, you know, like I've slipped on the brake and,
Well, apologies to Frank then. It's possible.
Yeah. Myth busted.
Okay.
Imagine if you were coming home after kinky boots.
Oh, Jesus.
Bloody nightmare.
Oh, way home. No rubber. You're driving on the rims by the time you get to the driveway.
Jesus. On the rims. Australian woman shot dead by police in Minnesota. Quite an incredible story. And Ashley Mullaney from Channel 7 News, the US correspondent, is in the United States at the moment. Ashley, what has happened here?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, well, it's hard to imagine what this family is going through. It's just an absolute tragedy. It really isn't. You can't find the words to describe what has taken place. This woman, an Australian woman, Justine Ruzczyk, Damon, lived in the United States for the past 3 years. She was here starting a new life with her fiancé, working as a spiritual healer, teaching yoga. From all accounts, just a really wonderful woman. And it was about 11:30 on Saturday night, local time. She heard a bit of a disturbance in the alleyway behind her house and she's called 911. And it looks like as she's gone down the alleyway to meet police at the end, that's when she was shot dead by one of those officers. Just a tragic set of circumstances. You can't imagine what has possibly led to something like this happening. Obviously, this officer might have believed she was armed. There's some speculation that she was carrying a phone and that perhaps he has mistaken that for a gun. But this officer was sitting in the, from all reports, sitting in the passenger seat of a police car and has fired past his partner and through the window and struck Justine and killing her. And you may have heard the controversy about the fact that their body cameras weren't on, which could be explained by the fact that they were still in the vehicle.
But Ashley, the thing that they're saying in the papers here is that she was leaning in to talk to the officers. So she was in her pyjamas. Like, doesn't that seem a little odd that they wouldn't have identified that she was the one calling them?
Yeah, I've heard mixed reports about those final few seconds, and I guess that's what will come under so much scrutiny now in this investigation. I've heard one report that Justine was running towards the police car, that perhaps she was fearful about some... Well, clearly she was in fear because she's called 911, so it might have made sense that she was running towards them, and this officer's pulled out his gun. Now, he's been identified as a man named Muhammad Noor, an officer with just 2 years' experience, and he's pulled out his firearm and shot Justine. But you're right, she was in her pyjamas. You can't wrap your head around it.
So the husband wasn't home. Is that a tough part of the city? It looks all right from the photos. Everything looks quite tidy. Is there a reason why they'd shoot first, ask questions later?
You know, it is a beautiful part of Minneapolis. It's a very leafy suburb. The neighbours are very friendly. It's not the sort of place that you would expect something like this to happen. But in saying that, Minnesota has had issues with police brutality. Neighbours have told us, Philando Castile, another case of a police shooting here just last year that received quite a bit of media attention. Yeah. So the neighbours here, they're upset, but they're angry. They're very angry at what's happened because they feel like this is a culture of heavy-handed police work here.
Ashley Mullaney, Channel 7, US correspondent, giving us the latest on the Australian woman who's been shot dead by police in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll keep it on Channel 7 News for more information. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, quick in-studio survey. Who of us does online shopping? Ed Cavalli?
Not really.
No.
A little bit.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, Brendo?
I don't. Kate does, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, for anyone like me who's a bit of an online shopper, this week is a very big week in Australia.
To celebrate 10 years in the business down under, Gumtree has launched a sleeker, more streamlined look, along with tweaks to the search features and speed. There's also new options to pay with cash, peer-to-peer payments and PayPal, and a big improvement to the usability of their app.
So love Gumtree.
Are they an Australian company?
I think so.
I just heard her say to celebrate 10 years down under. Does that mean they're somewhere else?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they're in the UK as well, wasn't it? Because there's jobs on there as well.
Yeah.
There's jobs and there's stuff. I know that there was, I think my wife actually has once sold a desk on Gumtree and it went fine. They came around, they picked it up and off they went.
Preferred method for our kids to sell any spare furniture and stuff.
What, just random? Here, Dad, where's your sofa gone?
No, well, they see stuff in my shed. They go, there's a desk, there's a table, there's chairs and stuff. And I just said, yeah, I'd love to get rid of them.
Well, see, it's funny because I had some concertina doors put in recently and I had the old sort of 80s sliding doors, you know, those Mission Brown ones.
You can't sell them.
No. Well,
the
I was going to put them out on the street and say, you know, free if you want them. But my middle son was like, oh, I'll sell them. I said, mate,
actually,
go for it.
Who's good at that?
Yeah, Gumtree.
He
off
could
you go.
Get 40, 50 bucks.
Anyway, there's lots of stories of people who've entirely decked out their house thanks to Gumtree.
No, really?
There was a bloke on the telly last night did his whole cafe/restaurant in Gumtree furniture.
Yeah.
It just looked a little bit random.
It looked very random,
but it looked like a random style, and he got it all off Gumtree.
One day.
I've got to get on board. Maybe I've missed out in life because, you know, we still got baby stuff that we have to get hold of. There's never-ending supply of baby furniture that you need, apparently.
You've never looked on Gumtree, Ed.
I haven't. Maybe Tiff has, but I'm just not a Gumtree. Maybe this is my chance to get educated.
Ed, I bought a Land Cruiser, a fairly old one. It was late 70s, early 80s, for $1,200 about 5 years ago.
Whoa.
It only lasted a year, but that's all you expect out of something that cost $1,200.
Yeah, but you took it to Morton and thrashed it.
Well, not there. That's an issue. Well, that's why you only have to pay. That's why you do that sort of stuff. Because otherwise you get a new one and you're losing $5,000 value.
Yeah, that's very true.
No, no.
Ed, do you want to hear the good stuff? Let's see what people have bought on Gumtree.
Yeah. What has been your best score on Gumtree? Or maybe you were a seller. Maybe you got a mad price for something.
Hey, Ed, we've lost Mardo to Gumtree.
Oi, oi, oi.
I know, I saw that. He loves it. He's so happy now.
Have you seen his Land Cruisers from the early 90s for about $4,500?
That's a bargain.
Instead of the Mahindra?
No, don't worry about the Mahindra.
Adam of Norman Park, what have you got on Gumtree?
Not me, my wife. She loves Gumtree. She buys pretty much everything off Gumtree. And we bought a guinea pig hutch with everything, the straw, the feeders, the everything.
Guinea pigs?
No guinea pigs, thank God. But it lives at the back of my parents' place, behind their shed.
Yep.
Along with 90% of everything else that she buys, either in boxes or in...
Just ornamental.
Everything. Oh, the guinea pig hutch is now growing things out of it.
Yeah.
From behind the shed.
You still sound like you love your wife, though.
Oh, yeah, well, I have to.
Some of my neighbours in Paddington, Adam, they've got guinea pigs, and their two daughters wash them in a bucket on the weekend. And
yeah, don't need that bucket, thank you.
That's what I'm saying. I'm figuring, did you have to buy the washing bucket that goes with said guinea pigs? Thank you, Adam. That's you've got a problem there because she's like those in the Kerrigans in the castle, the jousting sticks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sheree of Boondall, tell us about what you bought on Gumtree.
Hi, I ended up kitting out my whole unit. So lounge suite, coffee table, TV unit, washing machine, fridge and bed.
Give it to us. How much?
$1,200.
Under $1,200. That's less than one of those like packs that you have to put together from one of those cheap furniture stores.
Well, yeah, what's your estimate on what it should have cost new? Would be $25,000.
Yeah. Look. You have to obviously balance the quality, but if I had to buy that stuff new, I'd be up $10,000-$15,000 if I went to one of those super stores.
It's incredible bargain. That's an incredible bargain, and it's all good stuff. It's all you're happy with it.
Yeah,
still?
All good. And then I went back and I did the outdoor table for $60. Got a 6-seater outdoor table as well, dining table. So,
my God.
There's a trick to it, right? Yeah. So you've got to make sure that you can actually get there and pick it up. You've got to be on the go when you're looking for what you want.
Are you got a ute or what are you driving?
No, it was quite funny. I had friends on iPads all buying stuff at the same time and we went out with two utes that day, picked it all up and dropped it to the unit and put it together that night.
Oh, you got friends.
Wow. So you reckon, because I've often missed stuff and I'm in the market at the moment for a couple of push bikes, so you've got to actually be on the road ready to go.
you've got to be ready. And I found that if you're not quick enough, you miss the bargain. And also a little bit flexible on price, because obviously people want to negotiate, or they want their price and they've made their mind up. So what I found is if you can get, and particularly for the lounge suite and the TV unit and the coffee unit, it was all matching, all out of the one spot. But you always ask, what else have you got? And then you go from there.
Well, I got these two kids.
I don't know. Love that, Sheree. Thank you. Ilya of Logan, what'd you get?
I bought a World War One bugle that's like fully engraved of where it's been, who's owned it, where it's, you know, its
journey.
Can you play it? I've got a couple of notes out of it. That's about it.
But that's an incredible, like, heirloom and a relic. That's quite remarkable. That could be worth something one day. How much was it?
It cost me $600, which I thought was pretty cheap because it's a one-of-a-kind kind of thing.
Had it prized.
But I suppose the biggest thing to know about Gumtree, it is owned by eBay, so...
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's safe for all the stuff that is sort of backed up.
Yeah. If you look at the disclaimer down the bottom of Gumtree, it says, you know, eBay Incorporated.
Ah. Oh, Ilya, that'll end up being over 100 years old, that bugle. That's quite incredible.
Yeah, it is. And I've also bought a World War One enlistment banner that's been signed by four diggers, and it's 101 years old.
Righto, but you would never sell them on eBay, Gumtree.
No, I've sold for the past probably 12 years on eBay and Gumtree, but mostly buy and hoard. Everyone says I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're a collector.
But everything I buy is worth a lot more than I sell it for. Yeah, I usually get a profit of about five times what I paid for something if I sell it.
Now, can I ask you, how often are you on Gumtree? Are you checking it daily or weekly or monthly?
Well, the thing is, I class myself as an eBay and Gumtree expert because I have, the best thing I bought was the... 1920s Prototype Academy Award, which is the only one in its
what?
In
what is that?
Hang
name?
On, Ilya, hang on. So the Oscar is the name of the uncle of the person or the cousin. I can't remember. It's named after somebody who was the uncle or the cousin of the bloke that designed it, and the little girl got involved. And how on earth have you got hold of the prototype?
The story, what I was told when I bought it, it was bought by a Sydney family in the 80s from a celebrity auction in New York. In the early 80s.
Yeah, that's fine.
And it was apparently meant to be melted down and reused because metal was valuable at that point in time. And so I think someone obviously didn't do it or smuggled it out or however it got out of there. But, it come to this person. They had it for 20-odd years and I bought it off them.
That's incredible. That is absolutely amazing.
I have to ask, how much was it?
Several thousand, put it that way.
Worth more than that.
To me, it's priceless. Like, I couldn't believe I even got an opportunity to buy it. Because it was, basically, I made the deal on the second day of a 10-day auction. And I was lucky that he did that. Because I believed it would go for, like, $25,000. Because that's what I'd valued it at.
Do you own your own home?
No, I know. I'm actually on benefits, so I do it to supplement my income.
Good one.
And what I've been trying to get Centrelink and the government to listen to me for many years, where I believe that I could get like 1,000 people off benefits just by wheeling and dealing
trading.
Like I do. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Nice.
All right, Ilya, that is a quite incredible story. Good on you, mate. That's amazing. Oh, I should have asked Ilya if he has a bugle alert when a bugle comes up on Gumtree. And is it a bugle?
Hey, can I run this story by a courier mail this morning? Townsville. And it's a Crime Watch style story. Townsville man is told of how he chased off two men with a trident and a chainsaw after a home invasion.
Hang on, what's a trident?
A trident is a...
It's a three-pronged spear that Neptune or Poseidon uses. Aquaman
like
uses it as well. Yeah, it looks like a pitchfork.
Okay.
So he's used that at a home invasion.
Well, let's go. Let's dig a bit deeper.
Get one.
Johnny Smith said two men came into his home last week while he and a friend were playing video games in the living room. Got the scene?
Right.
There it is. He walked in.
A couple of winners.
Yeah. Well, they're just doing what blokes do. He walked in, asked for some guy, and I said he didn't live here. Right?
Yeah.
Had a chance to go then. All of a sudden, all we heard was the back door opening, and another bloke walked through the back door. So they had a plan, the two assailants.
Sure, this is it.
You know, I told you at the exact time they didn't have their watches. Anyway, so they're both in there and the two guys are sitting there with their consoles going, righto, here we go. I had a tire iron against the wall and the first guy, that's the guy who came in the front door, he reached down, grabbed it and started yelling, and then the guy came through the back door, slammed me up against the wall demanding money.
Oh, jeez.
1 minute they were just looking for a guy, then they thought, while we're here, might as well shake these two video game players down. Righto. So obviously this is Johnny who's featured here in the photo. They let me go into the spare room, right? I'll go get some money.
You go and get some money, yeah.
Where I grabbed the trident, which was behind the door. Who puts? Don't you leave that in your garden shed?
Well, no, I've just Googled, right? And you can buy one.
What did you Google?
I Googled, a trident? Where do you buy a trident?
By the hardware.
From eBay for $135, and they're promoting it as a great Halloween or Christmas gift.
Jeez, that's an expensive trident. I would have thought you'd pick one up for $50. Anyway, hold on. We're not done yet with Johnny Smith. So where was I? He had the trident.
Right.
Just behind the door. Yes. So imagine, he's come out and the guy's gone, oh, I thought you were going to get some money. Now, Mr. Smith said he then lunged at the nearest man with the weapon, the trident, and then he grabbed his chainsaw, starting it and chasing the two men out the door. What a day. That beats video games, doesn't it?
Hey, all right. So you're saying that the chainsaw started first time?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say that, but can you imagine he's got the trident? How would you do that, trying to pull the chainsaw while holding a trident?
Yeah, it's amazing. That's an amazing effort in itself.
Oh, hold on. Here's the photo. Johnny, I didn't notice. It's an Azito chainsaw. If any Bunnings fans realise, that's the cheapest style of tool you can ever buy.
Is it really? Hey, can you get an electric chainsaw?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, you can buy cordless.
Yeah. Maybe so it was
cordless Azito. It's made $100.
Maybe it's like Nintendo Wii and it's like a chainsaw attachment for a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. Or
actually, that would have been down the back of the lounge. Just hold on, here's some money down there. At Azito. What a great story. Townsville.
Okay, how did you go with Game of Thrones yesterday? We've specially got a wonderful listener by the name of Kieran to come on and give you the update so that you could sit down at either 11 or 8:30 and watch Foxtel and actually get it.
Yeah.
How'd you go?
Oh, mate, I had things to do. and then I just didn't get around to it.
Ed Cavalier, you're a big fan.
Did you watch it?
I'm not a big fan. I'm a casual viewer. I taped it, but I haven't watched it. But I felt for those poor buggers that were streaming it legally through Foxtel because due to the high demand, Robin, the streaming service just fell over and people couldn't watch it. So, of course, it begs the question, when can you start saying what happened in the episode? How long is the spoiler alert for something that's on Foxtel when it wasn't your fault if you didn't see it?
Didn't last year, didn't we establish that we are the biggest pirates on earth last year?
Which is why they moved it. That's why they moved it to having it the same time as the US to try and get rid of some of that. But we're still by far and away the most piratey place in the world.
So none of you watched it? Brendo, did you watch it?
No, I've never seen an episode.
Okay. But I told you yesterday, 50% of Australians 18 to 34 years of age watch it. I don't know when or how they watch it. But
I tried because, as I said yesterday, like I have this kind of a bit like you, Ed, I kind of cursory know what's going on. I haven't got into the intricacies of it and I'm not going to do any spoiler alerting because I don't think that's very nice or very fair.
You know, my question, boob or dragon, what came first?
There wasn't much question. Boob.
No. Wasn't much boob.
No.
Oh, I'm out. Yeah.
So then I went to the catch-up, and the most exciting thing, the things that I was looking for as someone who isn't massively into the show was, is this a spoiler if I say who was the guest? No, it wasn't. It's all over social media. Ed Sheeran had a cameo role in the first episode.
As what?
Well, then if I tell you that, it's going to spoil it.
Oh, but no, let's now just they're say doing that. They're now doing celebrities like Sammy Davis Jr. sticking his head out with Batman and Robin climbing up the wall.
Okay, you know, it was a cute little story as to the reason why he was there, because one of the actresses, and I won't again say who it was because that could be a potential spoiler, but she was a massive Ed Sheeran fan. It was a surprise for her for her birthday. She turned up on set. He was there, did something that was very Ed Sheeran-ish. In the actual show?
A song.
Is he playing a lute?
Well, I can't. Here's the thing. I don't want to ruin it for people, but, you know, he was...
You're not going to ruin it for any of our
listeners. His little red hair was standing out in the wintry wonderland.
Mac is just getting the drops already. You're not going to ruin it for Macca. say what happened.
No, he just appeared as someone who was singing as part of, yeah, in the Stark.
Gee.
Unmissable.
Yeah, I've got to watch now.
See, you don't care. No, you don't. Are not the right person to be sorry. About this.
All right, let me ask you this. Was Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones, was it as exciting as the times that Marsha Hines was on Neighbours?
Nothing.
Are we at that level?
Marsha Hines, what is she doing on Neighbours?
I can't remember. I don't remember, mate. I just remember seeing her and thinking, oh, yeah.
That's okay.
What else is on?
Sam Frost from The Bachelorette's going to Home and Away.
I wish Sam Frost would go into some one of those Game of Thrones.
Yes.
You know what, I mean? So she could ride a dragon?
She could fight a dragon.
No. Yeah. Malfunction.
We've been talking about the bus strike, and you two have kind of been laughing a bit about the fact that... Well,
4:30 to 6:30.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, but then we found out that it's only at a couple of the depots, apparently. Anyway, we've been having a bit of a crack finding out...
Well, we were laughing because people were going, hold on, this bus is leaking from all the depots.
So we now have an anonymous bus driver... who wants to set us straight. Hello.
Great. Right. Hello, Anonymous.
Hello, Anonymous.
Hey, morning, people. Hello, mate. Thanks for calling us. Let us know, as a bus driver, what is the strike about?
Well, it's also about pay conditions, but it's mostly about safety on the buses. People have forgotten about that driver that was burnt to death last year, and nothing's been implemented to make it safer for us on the road. So,
what do you need? Do you need to be in a little enclosure or what?
I'd love to be, yes. I'd like to see us completely enclosed off. Some drivers don't want to, but I can see that as being the only way to make us safe on the buses. It's not just the fear of being burnt. We're trapped in a corner. We can't get out and people just come around and drivers have been hit, mostly for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
And, it's just not real safe for us out there at all, to be quite honest.
Okay, but what's the point in doing a strike in only three depots from 4:30 to 6:30 in the morning?
We're trying to get our point across without causing as much interruption of people's days as we can.
Oh, good one.
If we'd have done that a lot later in the day, like later in the morning, it would have been much worse. Or if we'd have done it for a full day, that would have been totally chaotic. But we're trying to not impact on people's lives as much as possible. And we're still getting the kids to school, so that's the main thing.
So how are you doing that?
Well, schools don't start at 6:30 in the morning.
It seems like to be fair to the bus drivers, it seems like a respectable way to try and get your point across. Not doing it at peak hour, it's actually trying to just, which is why we want to speak to you today. So Anonymous, you got, people listening to you right now, you'd like to see little, safety, not cages, but safety equipment put into the buses?
Yeah, some kind of safety measure to make it a little bit safer for us, but can't seem to come up with any idea.
What about, I like my ideas, Guy, what about a low-voltage taser? If they annoy you, just give them a bit of a blast.
They won't let me have one of those.
We should have a trial.
The only other thing, though, that we have had calls from people saying that people have been waiting at bus stops not knowing about the strike. Was there any notification?
Well, yeah, it's been going out over the news and that for ages.
It's not been on the news.
And, people have been getting told, and as far as any other notifications, I don't know. But, it's been put out there, letting people know that we're doing it.
All right, well, we all better get on the buses now. The strike's over. Worky, worky.
Thanks, Anonymous.
No worries. Thanks very much, fellas. Have a good day.
Cheers, mate. Oh, guys, the issue of ID scanners has been an enormous one, and I've got a lot of mates own bars and nightclubs, etc., and they're all spewing. To a man, they are going, this is wrecking our business. To give us an overview, rather than going individualising bar by bar, to give us an overview from our nightlife Queensland, we got Nick Braben. Morning, Nick.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Mate, ID scanners, can you tell us, anyone who hasn't heard this story, I hear the stats of 500,000 people have been tested and only 22 have been refused. Where's it at?
Yeah, look, it's a pretty low hit rate. Government could have implemented it the way that industry sort of asked them to, put it in the big venues, the high-capacity venues, the late-night nightclubs, the ones that we know, attract people that do the wrong thing, and you'd still get that same 20 people probably, cutting your scans by a quarter and not inconveniencing the rest of Queensland and the business. So that's sort of where we're at.
Can Can you explain it to me? So what happens? You walk into a nightclub and you've got your ID.
Just a nightclub. Any bar that wants to open late in one of these districts.
Yeah, so across the 15 precincts in the state, if you are licensed to trade past 12 on a given night, you're turning on your scanner from 10 p.m. at least. So as you say, Robin, you walk up, your ID gets placed in the machine, scanned. That's checked against a banned list that the government maintains of police and court bans. And if you ping on that, they notify police and they'll come looking for you. But the venues can also place, you know, their own personal venue bans on them as well. So, look, they're a great tool and they have industry support if applied in a sensible way, not on, you know, as Marto said, every little bar, every pub on Caxton Street, every bar, restaurant in the CBD and smaller cocktail bars in the valley, for example.
So you're not interested in underage particularly, it's just bad people?
No, that's it. It's not targeted at underage people or anything like that. This is entirely targeted at violent offenders. It does allow venues to sort of give people a sin bin if they do the wrong thing, if they act like a dill, and that works really well. It's a great tool, but, you know, the little cocktail bar in the city that had to turn away a few French winemakers certainly doesn't encounter that type of behaviour.
Well, that was the Gresham, and that was embarrassing. Correct. We got blokes in their 50s, they were French winemakers of high regard, turned away because they didn't all have their ID on them. So, but there's also Brewskis, that little place on Caxton Street. They've just decided to close late at night. They just close their doors.
Oh, really?
Well, that's the crazy thing. They've de-licensed, so their license only goes to 12 now, so they're not scanning at all. But you go down to Caxton, obviously the guys there have kept their license, so they are scanning. So, you know, you've already compromised the system in a way anyway. People, the wrong type of people could potentially go to the wrong places, and it's sort of where we were at to begin with. You know, I hear Danny Green wasn't able to get back into the Caxton after the Horn fight, because he didn't have his ID. You know, this is these are the silly things we run into because there's no flexibility.
Nick, I got a mate of mine owns a pub in town. Oh yeah, I'll say it. The Port Office, great pub, one of Brisbane's best. Yeah. All right, His mum went outside at 10:30. She's in her 60s and wasn't allowed back into her son's pub.
Well, I'd heard whispers of that one, Marto. I didn't want to.
Oh, I know his mum. It was probably time for her to go home. But apart from that, mate, it's costing people money. To save these people, again, we've legislated for idiots.
Yeah, look, apparently on Caxton, that's the quietest they've ever seen it after an Origin, and such a big, big series win for the boys, you know. For Caxton Street to be pretty bloody quiet after that is an indication of how it's going. Look, it's definitely a hindrance on the industry. If we just make a few tweaks and government makes a few tweaks, they'll get it right. I think general public will be happy, industry will be happy, everyone will be quiet.
Ask us. So Robin, Ed, myself, would any of us queue to go into any venue? Because that's what's happening. Everyone has a queue now.
No,
no, I wouldn't.
Just go home.
The New South Wales Blues still under the microscope, Marto, following their series loss.
So it should be. I know it's been 6 days ago now that we won Origin. But, mate, this is what happens every year. They do themselves in and they're looking for scapegoats. They're looking for blame. And it's becoming thick and fast. I like how people are now. I love how Andrew Johns said, we need a new coach. And then somebody said, why don't you do it? Oh, no, I'm a bit busy. So is Matty Johns. He said, I'm too busy as well. But Matty Johns was on NRL 360 the other night. Now, listen to this. This is the pampered style of human that's in the New South Wales Blues camp. That this is why they can't perform like a team of champions, like the like a champion team, like the Origin team for Queensland is. All right? So he's talking here about Fifita and Clemmer, Matty Johns.
That was the right decision. You get Clemmer into it early. Queensland, you blokes come out and you're emotionally high, and Clemmer's one of those blokes that gets up for a contest emotionally. Hold Fifita back, bring him on after 20, 25 minutes. It's a winner. And if Fifita doesn't want to swallow it, then you just say, see you later. It's stunning and it's symbolic of what's wrong with New South Wales.
Laurie Daly told David Clemmer, you will be starting the Origin game. It then got fed to Fifita that he was going to come off the bench. He sulked and stamped his feet, and Laurie said, oh, okay. That doesn't happen. And contrast that with what happened with Billy Slater, where he was told and he offered all the help. We've been down that track, all right? Mm-hmm. That's the difference. If anyone could get that into their heads in New South Wales, there might be a chance. Here's the other difference. Years ago, these two blokes were caught on a roof at Canberra drinking was it Bacardi, Bacardi breezes, or vodka breeze? Who, what adult male, anyway, drinks those? They were took selfies of themselves on a roof instead of being at football training for the Raiders. Both of them then have been moved on and all the rest of it, and then they've had problems elsewhere. Well, Ferguson and Dugan were together on the right-hand edge for New South Wales. Valentine Holmes scored. How many tries did Valentine Holmes score?
Three, last time I checked.
Three, that's right. Did anyone remember Ferguson when he was marking Valentine Holmes? All right. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Wow.
Wonderful.
I think he was meant to be marking Valentine Holmes.
Righto. Well, here's a little story from last night as well. They trained at Kingscliff. We all know where Kingscliff is,
yes,
the salt there.
Beautiful.
They had Friday off. Most of the New South Wales team hooked up with their family who were at the Gold Coast or went shopping or played golf, all very innocent. You got all day off. All right, Ferguson and Dugan, the old booze brothers, they decide to go to the Lennox Heads Hotel. Let Buzz Rothfield tell it.
It's going to be our back page in the Daily Telegraph tomorrow. The Blues were given a day off, the Friday before the game. Most of the players spent it with their families, went and played golf, had lunch, whatever. Josh Dugan and Blake Ferguson decided they'd have a day on the booze. They got to the Lennox Point Hotel at lunchtime and didn't leave there until 8 o'clock that night. Now, this is 4 days before the biggest Origin game, arguably, in New South Wales history. I think they're showing absolutely no respect for their teammates being there.
Even better. All right, so it's Friday, all right?
Right.
When they were asked about it, they said, ooh, 6 days before the game. They can't even get their maths right. Like, oh, it's Saturday and then Sunday. Listen, at this stage, what they really need, Ed, is Todd Carney. If his double standards, if his, what, just drinking
right.
a little bit of your own urine
you're
rules
right.
you out of the New South Wales team, it's time to bring him back.
You're absolutely right. But to be fair to Blake and Josh Dugan, they said it was 6 days.
Yeah.
According to them, it's only three sleeps till Christmas when you party like they do. So...
oh, they don't get it. None of them get it.
No, they don't.
Why would they? I love it. I love it.